Hello there, cats and kittens, and help yourself to a warm welcome from myself and the world's greatest lurcher as you rejoin us here in the happy place for this week's rough-hewn lump of discontent provider. The podcast that is only slightly more amused by online fuckstumps trying to goad people into picking a good guy between a savagely authoritarian apartheid regime and a savagely authoritarian theocracy than it is by the strenuous mental gymnastics exhibited by those clueless enough to actually try doing so. Do you know, I forget exactly where the world was when last we foregathered here in our tranquil grove. Had Iran launched their retaliatory strike on Israel following the latter's taking out some of their more braided and bemedaled military types? Or were we still waiting on events? Truth be told, the unmitigated and never-ending cavalcade of grotesque horror through which our weary, wicked world turns each day tends to blur most enormities and atrocities into an eternal hellscape, as though a viewmaster designed by a madman had been glued over one's eyes. In any event, it seemed, at least at the start of the week, that Tehran's response wasn't quite as Armageddon-esque as many had feared it would be, and what passes for honour among elitist shitfuckers who understand honour about as well as I understand the difference between rugby league and rugby union may just have been satisfied all round. Which left the bods running the show here in these never-knowingly united kingdoms free to get back to business. Perhaps the most notable noxious bubble to rise to the top of Westminster's septic tank this week has been Number 10's teeny tiny tenant's wizard wheeze, a singularly inappropriate word now I come to think of it, to stop people smoking. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill is set for a second parliamentary reading, having passed with a majority of 316 votes. Now, the idea of creating a smoke-free generation is an odd one, is it not? Aside from anything else, one has to wonder how it's going to be enforced as time goes by. Nobody, the bill proposes, born after 2009 will be sold tobacco, tobacco-related products, or those bubbling magic marker-looking gadgets that stink like explosive diarrhea in a sweet shop. But, given that it's hard enough to prevent snout from falling into the wrong hands now, even though it's relatively easy to work out who is old enough to smoke and who isn't, there are still a number of kids, mostly super cool kids, who don't even care, lighting up. How will shopkeepers 20 years from now realistically be able to tell who is 36 and who is 37, say? Especially as an awful lot of smokers tend to look considerably older than they are. The idea of grown-ups being asked to provide proof of age at a corner shop or a supermarket is a rum un, and no mistake, and I can't see a lot of people digging it, to be perfectly frank. Mind you, perhaps all these nobly expressed sentiments regarding the purity and safety of younger people's pink and innocent alveoli is just a blind, and it's all just a way of reintroducing a mandatory ID scheme. You know, like hanging. It's a dream that oftentimes haunts the idle minds of many a parliamentarian with nothing more compelling to think about, so I wouldn't put it past them to give it another go, one way or another. Let us, however, set aside the technical and logistical aspects of the scheme and consider its morality. Smoking, let's face it squarely, is a ghastly business. I've had an off-again, on-again relationship with the demon weed for a couple of decades or so, and I have to say that, on the whole, one is better off, by any conceivable metric, well out of it. Admittedly, it does give a cat or a kitten a certain rakish air, a louche, devil-may-care swagger, but such glamour is as nothing when compared to the physical and spiritual harm the habit does eventually wreak upon one. Even if, as I do, one favours the allegedly healthier form of herbal infusion, such as a pipe, a measure of nastiness is going on the inside. Is it worth it just to give oneself an air of sagacity and gravitas? Well, I mean to say, it absolutely does do that. A chap can say almost anything while smoking a pipe, and it comes across as the wisdom of the ages. As a consummate professional, I never normally smoke during these seances, but let me demonstrate. Do you know, podcast pals, it's dashed odd. I haven't eaten sweet corn in more than a week, but there were several lumps of the stuff in my morning stool today. That's tip-top audio content right there, eh, what? Nevertheless, don't try to deny it, you got chills. Oh, yes, you did. Even so, though, as I say, it's a terrible act of self-harm. But is it right for a government to try to eradicate it? I honestly wouldn't like to say. Speaking for myself, I wouldn't object to people never getting the chance to find out the hard way how beastly a hold the damn stuff can get on one. But, you know, at what price freedom and all that? Even if it is only the freedom to feel like red-hot spiders made out of barbed wire are writhing through your central nervous system because you haven't sparked up in a couple of hours. I'd also point out that many of those making, you know, these similarly libertarian arguments about the monstrosity of the nanny state are doing so based on their own arbitrary values. And many of them would erupt in a frothing moral panic whenever anybody mooted the decriminalisation of heroin, say, or even of cannabis. Well, obviously that's different, isn't it? Oh, I've seen Reefer Madness, so I know where that leads. Kids get into the wild jazz music, lost in a haze of pot smoke and enslaved by the voodoo rhythms of the Negro and all that. As ever, in a free and open debate, the marketplace of ideas is always going to find room for a spot of specious moralistic posturing. Of course, all this may be academic. While the Commons seem to be broadly in favour of Mr. Sunak's smoke-free future, one wonders what the Lords will make of it. Will the bill survive an encounter with Viscount Marlborough, Baroness Silkcut, and the Right Honourable Lady Richmond Blue Super King Size, unscathed? Well, time will, as ever, tell. One of the interesting points that has arisen from the debate is that in removing the rights of adults to make a choice, however unhealthy and half-assed it might be, politicians are infantilising them. It's unquestionably a valid criticism, I think, but more importantly, it's a crucially telling one. I rather fancy that our ruling class do view the lumpen herd as unruly kids, who need to be cajoled, cozened, and now and then given a bloody good hiding in order to keep them in line. The most simplistic view of this, of course, is that this is the result of an innate arrogance and sense of superiority to those who either elect them up to rule or simply permit people to sit on thrones or go around with absurd exalted titles that mean the thin end of bugger all sharpened to a fine point. And while there's definitely an element of that in play, I think that recent events, or rather disclosure of events that are several months old, demonstrate that it's often a case of projection. Our current crop of green leather-bound non-entities, I would suggest, are rather childlike themselves. So can it be wondered that they feel that everybody else is as hopelessly out of their depths in the grown-up world as they themselves are?
I went on the internet and showed somebody my winky. Now I have to pass on all my mates' phone numbers to a sexy scam bot. I don't know how to fill in tax forms properly. It's ever so confusing.
Or, my personal current favourite,
can I have a big wadge of other people's money? Some bad people got me drunk and said I could do sex to them, but now they've locked me in a flat.
While it can be argued that some of these lapses in judgment, shall we say, are more serious than others, and almost all of them are rigorously denied by those accused of making them, the very fact that they even seem credible is a worry, eh what? More concerning yet, and decidedly more indicative of a hierarchy more suited to scuffling in a school playground than to running a nation, is the way that these affairs are viewed by those aligned with the various star fuck-ups.
You shouldn't say nasty things about my friend. What about your friend? My dad says he's already been in trouble for using party funds to pay an alleged sex worker for ill-advised medical expenses. Mr. Speaker, tell him off for telling tales, Mr. Speaker.
And so it goes. A grisly pre-adolescent shit show of, No, my gosh and giddy gumdrops. Were it pre-adolescent, it wouldn't be so bad. We'd only have to concern ourselves with the adult equivalent of stealing from mummy's purse, not who's waving what unspeakably engorged organs at whom. Ah, perhaps I paraphrase too freely, cats and kittens. Maybe I oversimplify for mediocre comic effect. That is for the internet to decide. Yet I will conclude with this point. Were there any doubt that we are talking about children, hideously entitled, arrogant children who stuff themselves with state-subsidised meals while begrudging real kiddie-winks the most rudimentary of free school dinners, surely the PM's declaration today that he intends to crack down upon the long-term sick and end Britain's sick-note culture proves the point, do it not? What could be more childish than deflecting from one's own issues by lashing out at those perceived as weaker or of lower social standing? Classic bully stuff from the lad. And while those happily insulated from such invisible illnesses as anxiety and depression may applaud his decision to use some ill-defined group of clinical specialists, presumably graduates of the Just Rub Some Dirt In It Academy of Medicine, to force people into unsuitable and potentially harmful employment, now, one wonders if they'll think it was all such a fearfully brainy scheme a little later when they find that the lady running their groceries through the checkout starts weeping uncontrollably, or when they get into an Uber and find the driver cutting themselves. Regular listeners will be aware that I rarely venture into the realm of hard science, particularly astrophysics. It's difficult and I'm not good at numbers. But I'm compelled to say this, even if, as many authorities suggest, our universe is boundless and infinite in any and all directions, I'm reasonably sure that there is still insufficient space in it to give those cunts enough of a run-up if they were to go and fuck themselves with all the force and violence that they deserve. You know, I feel that the flimsy facade of effete charm that is, and always has been, my USP might just be beginning to show some signs of wear and tear, cats and kittens, so now is probably as good a time as any to call it a day. We'll be back next week for more of the same, sadly. So until then, don't forget to like, share and what have you all over your social media platforms. And if you'd like to give us a shout, we're on Twitter as Discontent Provider at Foxy and Arkham. Or you can email us at discontentprovider@gmx.co.uk. Until the next time rancid opinioneering, to be used strictly for entertainment purposes only, rolls around then, we'll leave you with the obligatory song at the end. From myself, the Silver Fox, and Arkham, the Black and White Dog, cheerio. Look at them streaming into Parliament's houses with the grown-up heads and the big boy trousers, ready for all kinds of wonderful fun and games. Snotty Oaks are sitting with their honourable friends. It's like a bad school play that never seems to end, as the gesture and pontificator call each other names. In the middle sits the speaker like a bored headmaster, his patience daily put to the test. Trying to bring some order to these immature bastards, it's a shame that he can't give the fucker six of the best. Half of them play truants almost half of the time, but they never get reprimanded or given a fine. They know that short of murder they are free to dick about for 5 years. Look over there, a ministerial hurdle means that somebody somewhere is in plenty of trouble. It ain't me, I did nothing, you can hear the party faithful whine. Turns out that the lefty lovey corporate media is saying someone paid a rent before a procedure. They'll be looking to replace him, so you best make sure you're first in line. Someone in the other gang's done something silly, they've dodged the tax or broken the law. Make a load of racket to distract from poor Willie, who gave out a few numbers because he had the horn. Every now and then it seems that someone gets busted. Apologise and show the head boy you can be trusted. It'll be gloss over and they'll say that you just made a mistake. Talking about taxes or about immigration doesn't matter, cause it's just a concatenation of indifferent rhetoric and making sure they make the right noise. Maybe when they first got in, they had lots of scruples about economic systems, human rights, attack loopholes. But all it boils down to is getting in with all the big boys. They're voting on issues that affect countless millions, but what they really think doesn't count. The party chiefs are bullies and they wanna be minions, with just an eye on quick promotion in the bank account. The lumpen herd of cretinous to credulous fools mainly learn that at dehumanising public schools. Because they pay them pretty well, they never have to grow the fuck up. No, they never have to grow the fuck up. My God, that harmonica is on its last legs. Sorry about that, cats and kittens.